While the Mississippi River was a valuable resource to early European explorers and settlers, it is important to remember the Mississippi and Minnesota rivers played a significant role in the lives of the Native Americans who made their homes in these lands long before Europeans arrived and pushed them out. Prior to the arrival of those early explorers, the primary inhabitants of the area were the Dakota, also known as the Sioux, and the Ojibwa, also known as the Chippewa or Anishinaabe peoples. The Mississippi River and its surrounding valley was as fundamental to the daily lives of the Dakota as the local shopping center is to most suburban families. It was where they hunted, planted crops, gathered plants, fished, swam, prayed, and it was their highway for transportation and trading goods. To your left, you will see the mouth of the Minnesota River as its waters join the Mississippi. Between the two bodies of water lay an island of land that is known today as Pike Island. To the Midwakaton Sioux community, it has a deep historic and spiritual meaning. They call the joining of the two rivers Biote, Minnesota, meaning where two waters come together. For some, it was their place of origin, as significant to their spirituality as the Garden of Eden is in the Old Testament. If you look to your left, all of the land you see became part of the United States when President Thomas Jefferson completed the Louisiana Purchase, announced on July 4, 1803. With the completion of this deal, the United States had bought the western half of the Mississippi River watershed from France. Once the deal was completed, Jefferson sent Meriwether Lewis and William Clark out west to explore the newly acquired territory, and Lieutenant Zebulon Pike up the Mississippi River. Pike's commanding officer, General James Wilkinson, ordered him to discover the Mississippi's source and make alliances with the Chippewa and the Dakota. His goals were to stop intertribal fighting, assess the fur trade, observe the weather, and secure the best sites for military posts. While Zebulon Pike was exploring, he met a French-Canadian fur trader by the name of Jean-Baptiste Faribault, who was repairing his canoe on Pike Island. In 1826, Faribault's son-in-law started the American Fur Trading Company about three-quarters of a mile up the Minnesota River at what is now Mendota. A small community developed around the trading post. Trappers brought their furs down the Minnesota River to the trading company. There they were loaded onto keel boats and later onto steamboats and taken to ports all over the world. The Minnesota River was once one of the great fur trade routes of the country. On September 21, 1805, Lieutenant Zebulon Pike landed his boats on the Big Island at the confluence of the two rivers that now bears his name and determined the high bluffs overlooking the river would make an ideal location for a military fort. 14 years after Zebulon Pike first chose the site for the fort, the first contingent of soldiers arrived to commence work under the command of Lieutenant Colonel Henry Leavenworth. Unfortunately, Leavenworth chose to continue up the Minnesota River and located his campsite a quarter of a mile above the island on low ground. He called it Cantonment New Hope. The first winter in the camp was extremely severe, as anyone who has lived in Minnesota during the winter can attest to. As a result of mismanagement, poor food, and illness, 40 of the soldiers died. Leavenworth was relieved of his command in the spring and was replaced by Colonel Josiah Snelling, who wisely chose to begin construction on the fort at the original site. Originally called Fort St. Anthony, Snelling's men began construction in 1820 and completed it in 1824. General Winfield Scott, commanding general of the army, came from the east to inspect the fort. He was so impressed by the job that Snelling had done that he recommended to Congress that they rename the fort Fort Snelling.